Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Randy Fizer, the CEO with the ASID, the American Society of Interior Designers. Randy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Kemp.
It's good to be with you. You just gave a presentation on the economic outlook, and I want to talk about that in a minute. But just real quick to catch my listeners up, you've been running this organization now for about 4 years. Tell us a little bit about the health of the organization.
Sure. The organization has really found itself finding its voice again and is developing and expanding on its relevance to the marketplace. We now have had a significant amount of growth over the last 2 years. So we're 26,000 plus members, which is nice. So 6% growth over last year. And we are seeing our expanded voice around programs and initiatives and government affairs really beginning to have a significant impact on the marketplace.
I think one of the reasons you've been so successful is you're on the road. You were just in Milan last week, right?
I was. I'm on the road about 70% of my time on behalf of the organization and speaking on behalf of the industry. And, you know, yes, I just came back from Salone de Mobile, which was an amazing experience and show. It's the first time I've actually had the opportunity to experience that and bring the voice of ASID to that market.
Comment real quick about that, because that's not put on by any one entity. That's just kind of a, you know, here's the city, everybody shows up, isn't it? It's kind of impromptu, right?
Well, there actually is a fair show that goes on, so a trade show that is put on by an organization. But what happened is they began to find there's an issue in the marketplace that you and I have discussed in the past. There's the distributors and the retailers that want to go and experience a trade show and have that type of experience. And so there's 300,000 people who show up to the trade show, but then there's a experiential component which goes on in the city. And what they were finding is that the interior design community and the design community in general wasn't getting what they needed after 6 o'clock from the trade show. So they wanted another experience. And so manufacturers who couldn't display at the trade show were beginning to create these experiences in the city. And that has exploded now. And neighborhoods began to take this on. And so now there's 5 different neighborhoods. And that's the very organic component that you're talking about.
Right.
And it is beyond experience in the United States about how they go about doing that and what it brings to the design community. It's fantastic.
All right. One more quick background question for my listeners. Tell us a little bit about the breakout of your membership. How many of them are focused in the residential sector and how many are in the commercial sector?
Yep. The best way to describe our membership is about a third are purely on single family home kind of work. And then you have about a third of our membership that does a little bit of both, has a toe in the commercial world and a toe in the residential world. And then there's about a third that are primarily in focused on the commercial world solely, which 80% of the marketplace in the U.S. is small interior design businesses. So that's the 1, 2, 3 person firms. And then you have the large firms, obviously the top 100 that are out there that have, you know, 50 to 1,000 to 3,000 employees working for them. And we tend to have a much larger base of the small firms that are out there doing a lot of different types of work. And then there's this other group of large firms, which we have some of those people as members, and we're trying to grow that part of our market base.
All right. So let's talk about your presentation today. A little side comment before we talk about that is that, you know, we're at the tile show and just sat this morning with the TCNA, the Tile Council of North America. They just gave us some numbers. The consumption of ceramic tile in the United States is up 9.8% in 15 versus 14. Everybody here is pretty upbeat, and your presentation is very upbeat. You gave a presentation where you talked about both the residential and commercial sectors of the business, and it sounded like in every instance, with the exception potentially of retail, not only is the demand for design work up and spending is up in those sectors, right?
That's absolutely correct. We are seeing the U.S. market is really back from where it was prior to the recession. And there are a lot of factors that go into that I touched on during my presentation that has to do with the health of the dollar. It has to do with the health of the economy. The United States is a great place for investment, which is really adding to the consumption of products and services related to design. So we are just seeing across the board some very positive trends. Where we were seeing some soft spots, as you mentioned, is retail, because I think that's a very shifting, based upon the demographics of our country, is shifting on how people want to shop and the types of experiences they want to have. And that's changing the retail environment pretty significantly in the U.S. And education is also another area where K through 12 education and the spending that goes on design for that is so impacted by the state budgets for tax revenue. We should be seeing that move up a little bit because the tax base of most states has gone up with the continued change in the economy, but it still has not become a strong point of the market.
I speak to Kermit Baker, who is the chief economist with the American Institute of Architecture, and my last conversation with him, he was telling me that he was concerned that toward the end of this year, we might see a little bit of a downturn, nothing to on the scale of what we saw in the 2008 era. And you actually are thinking that we may continue to see growth into the next couple of years, right?
Yeah, so I understand Kermit's I watch his work quite closely as well, and we have our economist also works with Kermit on things. And obviously I look at this from a point of view of interior design, and what we're seeing is same thing that Kermit is seeing in some ways of there is a global economy that we obviously in the United States are a part of, and there is some changes going on in Europe and some changes going on in Asia that could have some negative effects on the United States. We're also seeing the strength of the dollar as it impacts the trade, our overseas trade. People can't afford to buy our products as much overseas as they used to. But that's being what we're again seeing offset by foreign investment. And with our recent passage of FIRPTA in the United States, we actually see that foreign investment's going to go up. And so between the balancing of the two, and again, ASID and our Interior Design Billing Index being a leading indicator, we see that positive growth still maintaining. Now, will people be able to afford to build a new building? Maybe not. Maybe that's where the softening will take place. And we have seen some of those things take place in, you know, because of the gas oil prices in the U.S., in Houston and other places where there's been some softening of new development. But we do see capital still being on hand, and the amount of cash that is in people's on their books and the continued maintenance of a low interest rate having a positive repercussion, at least in the interior design side of the sector.
As part of your role as the CEO of the ASID, you helped tell this audience kind of where they should be focusing some of their attention. And I wanted to point out real quickly before we run out of time, two areas. One of them is the baby boomers. You say they represent the third largest economy in the world. Speak briefly about that.
Yeah, so what I thought was just a fascinating statistic is people 55 and older in the United States actually are the third largest economy in the world. So the first being the United States, the second being China. And then if you subsect out the U.S. population of people 55 and older, that is a $7.9 trillion economy in the world. And that's just the U.S. portion of that group. So that to me is one, a real indication of a group that has true economic power. It's a group that has needs when it comes to design and construction and building. And there is going to be, I think, a concentrated effort on figuring out how to service this economy. One thing we know is the World Economic Forum. So that's the group that meets in Davos, which is CEOs of Fortune 100 companies, has aging globally as its number one of its number one agendas in the world, because there's one, a crisis side of it. If you don't take care of this group of people, what happens to them? And then there's an opportunity side of it, which is there is a huge, at least in the United States, a huge economic power that can be spent on services, and what a better service to spend it on than to fixing your home and making it a place you could live for the rest of your life.
Okay, Randy, it's great to be with you. Again, thanks for spending time with my listeners. I've been talking to Randy Fizer, the CEO with the ASID, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaDaily.net.